following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
There. All right. Everyone stand with me, if you would, one more time. And put that on the screen, if you would, for me, my friend Brent. And would you read this with me? Powerful, powerful prophecy. Over 1,000 years prior to the birth of Christ, here is this man by the name of Isaiah. Steps up to the microphone of life, and he preaches out, speaks out this incredible prophecy regarding the coming of a Messiah, coming of Jesus. And just join with me. Let's read it together, okay? Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 says, read with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Father, you bless this word today, this thought, this idea, this concept to our hearts and to our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys know, you may be seated, how many of you guys know people's names are important? Your names are important. They often correspond, your name correspond to your personality or your character. You can tie them together so often. It is incredibly true of my 5 children, specifically my oldest one. Her name is Lindsay. Lindsay was our firstborn, and anyone who is expecting a firstborn, how many thousands of names do you go through? You know, how many books do you look at, and how many possibilities do you throw out? Well, we threw out just a ton of different names, and we finally landed on Lindsay. And we weren't trying to determine, Lindsay, you be this kind of a personality, but it's interesting how her name corresponds with her personality, because her name means refreshing spirit. And if anyone has been around my oldest daughter, Lindsay, that's who she is. She is a bubbly, fun, hilarious individual. Whoever she is with, they feel better because she's there. She's just that, has that ability to refresh and encourage, bubbly, outgoing, a lot like me. But just thought I'd throw that in there. But anyhow, and so, but it just so matches her name. There was a great public speaker, family advocate. His name is James Dobson. Maybe you've heard of him. James Dobson had a daughter, and they were trying to figure out a name for their daughter, and they wanted a name that no one would make fun of, or no one would malign in any way, shape, or form. So they thought they would name their daughter Danae. Thought that would be good. After the first day of school, she comes home in tears. Daddy, they're calling me DK. You know, names. There's something important about names. And that's what we're looking at here this morning. God also thought names were important, didn't he? Because he renamed Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, or father of many nations. He renamed Sarai to Sarah, or from bitterness to princess. He renamed Jacob. If anybody here, his name is Jacob, I'm sorry, but your name means deceiver. There are other names that we can, other meanings we can put on there too. But Jacob meant deceiver. That's exactly, he lived up to that name. He was changed to Israel, or which meant chosen. So God is into the name change and the importance of names. As we look at this time of the year, we're going to study together over the next few weeks different names of Christ, specifically from this passage in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. I believe the names of Christ are worthy of some serious, serious study and thought, because each one of them reveal a specific facet or a specific aspect of who Jesus is. As we study them, we can divide them down into 2 different categories. You can divide them down into what is called the divine, or the theological, or the whatever side that it is. That's a Jehovah. That means Lord. It's a title. Like Christ is a title. Messiah means Savior. So there's a divine side of the names of Jesus. But there's also a very relational human side to the names of Jesus. Names like Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Roy, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah, Rapha, the Lord my healer. Jehovah Shalom, Lord my peace. So we see Jehovah, the name associated with another name, reveals character, reveals personality, and it releases who God is. And I love this thought. It says, the divine side of God is the who he is, but we see the other side, who he is to us. So we see a combination whenever we study the names of God. And these names from Isaiah are really all relational, or they're revealing who God is to us. And so as we look at this Christmas season, the very first one is Wonderful Counselor that we'll study. Again, it's the idea of his essential characteristics of who he is will be revealed to us as we walk through these. Okay, so let's walk through them. Number one, we're going to talk all about Wonderful Counselor this morning. Let's turn to the person next to you and say, Wonderful Counselor. Okay, so the first word we're going to attack here this morning is simply the word wonderful. When you think of the word wonderful, what comes to your mind? Just think about it. When you think of wonderful, what comes to your mind? Or what kind of ideas or concepts or things come? I think we maybe have, every one of us probably pushed back ourselves from the Thanksgiving table. We said, whew, that was wonderful. And I ate too much, right? That was wonderful. Maybe we experience an evening of friends, and we go out to dinner, maybe watch a movie. We get home and say, wow, what a wonderful night that was. That was so fun. And by the way, we have one of those nights coming up, just by parenthetical statement here, December 14th, when we have Taproot Theater Company. We're going to have dessert in here, and Taproot Theater Company, we're going to sing some carols. You're going to walk out of here, and you're going to get home and say, wow, that was a wonderful evening, so don't miss it. Just a thought there. Okay? Or how's this sound? Especially right now. Sitting back on a beach. You know where I'm going now. Warm wind, crashing waves, 85 degrees. How many would say, that sounds wonderful? See the thought? That's kind of where we're going here this morning. There's this something incredibly pleasant and warm and nice about the word wonderful. Wonderful is also kind of somehow associated with the word perfect. All right? It was a wonderful evening. What does that mean? It was perfect. It was a wonderful vacation. It was perfect. That's a wonderful gift. It was just perfect. Can you think with me right now? Just keep that same feeling, that same track, and that same train, and think of Jesus. Perfect. Wonderful. You see, because Jesus was wonderful in every aspect of his life. He was perfect in his nature. How many of you know that? Wouldn't it have been amazing to just sense and feel the love of Jesus? His patience, his kindness, his mercy. Throughout his life, his nature was one that he just exuded being wonderful. Just to be around him, you would feel like, wow, it's just wonderful to be with Jesus. Why? Because of just who he was. He was wonderful throughout his life. We see it over here, the nativity. Many people will see the nativity and say, wow, that's wonderful. Isn't that cool? Isn't that pretty? Isn't that nice? Isn't that perfect? We see through his birth, and we see through his whole life. You see Jesus, his whole life, ministering to people. And every one of us can pull ourselves aside and say, wow, it was just a wonderful life that he lived. Wonderful life of raising people from the dead. I mean, good grief. And, you know, serving fish and chips to 5,000. It was just wonderful. You know, the things that he did throughout his life, even as his resurrection, they're out in, out in the middle of a field, and here's all of his disciples and other loved ones around, and they're talking to Jesus, and the next thing you know, Jesus begins to ascend into the clouds, and angels show up. I don't know about you, but I would call that wonderful. Whoa, what is that? Okay, and so his whole life and his works revolve around just being wonderful. And how many of you know it's just wonderful in his teachings? You read the Beatitudes. It's just amazing how relevant they are to every one of us today. You read throughout the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the teachings of Jesus. You read specifically, read the red. Okay? There was a phrase that we had when we were in college, that read the red and pray for the power. Kind of a thing. But when you read the red, there's something there. There's something real about what Jesus said. His writings that have gone on for, has lasted all throughout these years. The writings and the teachings of Jesus are just something that's so what? Just wonderful. Are you getting the picture here? You know, Jesus in every way, in his teaching. The definition of the word wonderful is anything that creates wonder and amazement from any cause will be consistent with the meaning of this Hebrew word. So anything that creates wonder and amazement. We used to sing this song as a kid growing up, and Some of you may remember this. Some of you have no idea, and it will definitely age me, which usually the things that I, songs that I sing do. But wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Anybody heard that one? What? Saving me, keeping me. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Some of you are going, what in the world did they find? That's the most ditty song I've ever heard in my life. You know, but hey, we loved it. It was part of a hash chorus of songs. You know, but we won't even go into that. I promise you, we won't go there. Okay. But just grasp with me, first of all, just simple truth here. Point number one, Jesus is wonderful. Just grasp that. Maybe you've never grasped the thought that our Jesus is just wonderful. What He does, what how He lived, His teachings, every part of Jesus is wonderful in who He was and who He is. And here's the thing that's really cool about that. Somebody say cool. Here's the part about how many like to have cool friends? I mean, you don't like to have boring friends. Okay? You want to have cool friends. And you want to be part of that cool crowd that has cool friends. I want to tell you just very simple here this morning. This most awesome, wonderful entity in the universe is our friend. Is one that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I just throw that in parenthetically again here? Just understand, Jesus is not out there. He's here with us. And He's our friend. He actually... Now, this is a secret nobody else knows in here, and so this will be brand new to you. And He loves you. Isn't that wonderful? See, I mean, that's sometimes that's so hard for us. He loves us. He even wants to hang out with you. You guys aren't responding an awful lot here, but He really does. He wants to hang out with you, all right? He wants to listen to you. He wants to help us. Okay, so wonderful. All right, let's look at the second word, counselor. Now that word, when you present it, counselor, may not always bring positive emotions. How many of you had to go to a counselor in school? Okay, there's that type of a feeling like, oh no, I've got to go to a counselor. You know, you'll have to go talk to a counselor. Oh no, I've got to go see this shrink. And so it elicits maybe this negative feeling. Most often is viewed as either I am in trouble, or I'm sick and I need help. So we often equate that. But here the word counselor here just simply denotes one of honorable rank. One who is suited to stand near princes and kings and be their advisor. That's what this word means here. One of honorable rank. One of access to be able to help and to guide anyone who asks of them. That's what this word term is all about. And notice I got to keep building this. All right. My wife works as an on-call business office assistant for Edward Jones. In Edward Jones' office, there is what is called a financial advisor. That advisor is also called a financial counselor. So what do? You go to this financial advisor, financial counselor, for what? For counsel on finances. That individual has been trained. That individual has been equipped. That advisor has the ability to guide and to counsel and to lead in financial decisions. They're called a counselor. Okay? So if a counselor is one who has received adequate training and carries the wisdom necessary to guide and offer assistance, can I just ask a simple question? Has Jesus been equipped to handle our issues and offer assistance? Again, glad you asked. Let's look at the scripture. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and following, New American Standard Bible says, then a shoot, now notice, again, here's another Isaiah prophecy from thousands of years prior to the coming of Jesus. Here's the declaration. Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon him, talking about Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide fairness for the afflicted of the earth. I think he's pretty equipped. I think he has adequate training here. Okay? Look at the New Testament verse, Colossians chapter 2, Paul says to the church, New International Version here, it says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Now listen, here goes. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all, somebody say all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we see in Christ all mysteries and all knowledge revealed. I think he has adequate training in order to be called a counselor. Basically, all of that has been passed on to Jesus and therefore definitely adequately equipped. The pulpit commentary says this about in this particular passage. He is the one with unerring wisdom who obtains or has the secret of true success, the way to reach the goal and secure the prize. That's who Jesus is. Now, point number three. Wow, we're almost done. Somebody say, hallelujah, this is good. Now, come on. Okay. Now, we're at the last point. Point number three. Let's put these two truths together. And here's where I think it really gets good. And that is, I'm going to call this third point, rather than wonderful counselor, I'm going to call it the problem solver. Point number three. How many of you guys have ever heard of oxymorons? Okay, oxymorons are simply just two words that are put together to give the impression of oppositions or opposites. I found a bunch of them. I put them up there, and let's see if you can pick them out, okay? Of course, the famous one is what? Jumbo shrimp. How about liquid gas? Found missing? Pretty ugly? I always liked that one. She's pretty ugly. I should say he's pretty ugly, never she, okay? How about deafening silence? Act naturally? Get that? Seriously funny, clearly confused. How many of you guys have been there? I'm out in the woods. I'm clearly confused. Okay, freezer burn. Okay, rolling stop. Anybody ever got pulled over for one of those? But anyway, I won't go there. The last two I think are really good. I left them out on purpose. Microsoft Works, and all the Apple people said, okay, anyhow, all right. And last one, Brent didn't want me to put this one up there, but I did anyhow. City worker. Two words that are used together that are seemingly in opposition. Okay? I want you to look at just the opposite here this morning. Wonderful counselor is not an oxymoron. Okay? They're joined together to express this incredible, distinct attribute or quality. They're not opposites. Wonderful, now I'm going to throw out a little theology to you here, so get ready. Wonderful represents the human side of Christ. Counselor represents the divine. When Isaiah the prophet said, unto us a child is born, we have the humanity. But on the other side, we have a son is given, we have the divine. So when Jesus Christ comes, we see the perfect combination of God coming to earth as man, but he was still God. We see a perfect combination there. Again, I love the prophecies here. Wonderful means extraordinary. Counselor means to advise. Let me just say to you, what an incredible combination right here. We have a counselor who is wonderful. And we have a wonderful counselor. Do you see that? What a combination here. I love this thought. It's kind of a deep one, so grab a hold of it with me. Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian and lecturer of the past, he said it this way, they that know him best will say that the name doth not overstrain his merits, but rather falter infinitely short of his glorious deserving. Isn't that good? Kind of deep in it, okay? Okay, wake up and we'll keep going here. As we move forward here, I want you to see John chapter 3, verse 16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful verse. Every one of us have memorized it ever since we were, you know, knee-high to a jackrabbit. We started going to Sunday school, we learned that verse, okay? And we follow through and we still have it in our hearts and our spirits. But we often forget verse 17. And really, verse 17 is one of the most powerful verses. Because it says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the whole world through him might be saved. Now here's my point I want you to remember here. Remember this part. Rick Warren says it this way. He says, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the children of men could become the children of God. Jesus Christ came for our salvation so that we could be one with God. There's a beautiful truth here. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to give us freedom. He didn't come to put this fear into us, but instead to alleviate the fear and make us one with the Almighty God. That was his purpose. He came that we might be saved. Jesus came into the world, here we go now, because God had a plan, knew we were going to someday, here's where we're going, God knew that someday you and I would need a problem solver. So he sent his son Jesus, not to condemn the world, I'm going to change it just a little bit without warping it, but he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the whole world through him might have opportunity to have a personal relationship to bring, to be a problem solver in my life. Mighty, wonderful counselor. That's who he is. You see that? Wonderful counselor. Jesus is and has the solution to problems of our life. You've heard me say it many times, and I believe with all my heart, there's absolutely no problem that cannot be solved by getting closer to Jesus. Just getting closer to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the problem solver. That's, I believe, one aspect of why God sent Jesus. Yes, to die on the cross for our sins. Yes, that we might have everlasting life. Yes, but aspect of it right now here for us is that he can be that problem solver for us. He can be the wonderful counselor. He's wonderful and he's a counselor. We'll have that for us today. There's a reader board over at Riverside Health. Maybe you've seen it as you've driven through our city and our community. It says, sure regret that workout, said no one ever. I saw a bumper sticker not too long ago. It said, nice Prius, said no one ever. I sure regret following the words of Jesus, said no one ever. See, why? Because he's a wonderful counselor. Because he's personal. He's for every one of us. As we close here this morning, as Cheryl comes to the piano, I want to close with two verses. Write this down. I'm closing 11:15. Yeah, I heard somebody say, wow. I heard somebody else say, hallelujah. I know, wait a minute. We can go longer. You know, no. I've said, I felt it was on my heart this morning, okay? Two verses I want to close with. Because there's so many more to choose from, but these are the two that really have spoken to my heart about this morning. And it's specifically for us here today. First one, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Think about that with me for a moment, would you? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you the guidance. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the wisdom. I'll give you the help that you need. Come unto me. You see, if you have a car problem, you go to a mechanic, and you have this, and you have an awesome mechanic. If you have a plumbing problem, don't call me. You call a plumber. Because you have a terrific plumber that you know, right? You have a need. Can I ask you this morning? Can I challenge us? Let's call upon a wonderful counselor. Rather than going to so many other sources out there for help, you know what? There's a wonderful counselor that's available to us 24/7. He's a problem solver. This passage, this wonderful counselor, can also be defined and translated as, I like this, a messenger of mighty counsel. That's who Jesus is. We see that aspect of him. The other verse I want to throw out to you here this morning is Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come, how? Boldly. Ooh, I like that. Into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we have a problem, we go to the problem solver. And we don't have to go to the problem solver with fear, trembling, or hesitation. Come to the problem solver because Jesus died on the cross. Always remember this. The greatest thing about the birth of Christ is the cross of Christ. For without the birth of Christ, we would never have. Or without the birth of Christ, we would never have the cross of Christ. Okay? They're so beautiful in their truths. Together, no birth, no cross. So his coming was so that you and I could come before God anytime and not come hesitantly or fearfully, but come boldly. Do you see that verse here? Let me read it again. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace from the wonderful counselor to help us in our time of need. There are so many things you and I go through during the course of a day, a week. Can I just challenge us? Where do you go to? When you have a need, when you have an issue, when you have a problem, when you have whatever it is, who do you turn to? Where do you turn? I'm going to challenge us here. Let our first line of response go to the wonderful counselor. Why? Because that's who he is. You see, and notice, he doesn't feel the same about us coming to him as we do about him. See, he doesn't feel, he wants us to come boldly. We come hesitantly or maybe fearfully or like, last resort. But he said, no, come boldly anytime you want. That's what he wants. He welcomes us, he wants to help, and he wants to be there. Would you bow your heads?
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.